This message for the third Sunday of Easter was prepared by Pastor prior to his leaving. As we travel through the accounts of our Savior's resurrection, we have had occasion to note several ways that Jesus appeared to the disciples. There was a personal encounter with Mary through the use of her name to waken her to the new reality she was experiencing. John looked into the tomb and believed. Peter actively rushed in for an inspection of the orderly grave clothes. Later that day, Jesus appeared to the disciples together as a group, gathered in fear with a message of peace, and calling to action and sharing a message of forgiveness. Thomas, we recall, missed that moment. But even with his doubt, he would not be left out. The invitation to inspect the scars of his Savior's wounds produced a bursting out of acknowledgement. "My Lord and my God," he said. So this morning we come to yet another appearance of Jesus, and I wonder what this could mean. This time, a gathering of seven disciples, five of which are named, and two other anonymous people. Consider the particulars of the five which we know. Peter, the denier of Jesus. Thomas, the doubter of the resurrection. Nathanael, the true and loyal Israelite. James and John, the self-promoting sons of thunder. And then two unnamed souls, counted, but remaining anonymous. How curious that is. Do you suppose that perhaps we could be invited into the account of the great catch that is soon to follow? At any rate, this small group of friends have returned to a familiar place and a familiar life. Galilee is where they're from, and fishing is what they do. It is who they are, fishermen. In fact, we recall that it is the very analogy Jesus used some 3 years ago and so many amazing moments away from where they find themselves at this time. We could say, lots of water under the bridge since then, but Jesus had said, "Beside this very body of water, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." But since that time, their hopes have been raised, and they have been confused about many things. They have been dashed to pieces on the shore of despair as Jesus died before their very eyes on the cross. Consider the roller coaster of Lazarus being raised to life, the palm processional, the Last Supper with Jesus with the washing of feet, and then the terrible turn to the crucifixion. And gloriously, they have met him in resurrection days of the new era that is following. Putting it all together, we could easily imagine the possibility of some sort of PTSD for these people. And possibly, they return to the familiar as a means of coping, processing it all, and wondering what's next in these amazing experiences that they have had. It is here, at home, at work, and also at the end of their own ability as fishermen. Of all things, Jesus meets them again with new and shocking experiences. Maybe they were just out of practice or something, but with all their years of experience, they can't catch anything on their own. Only as they turn away from themselves and put aside their self-confidence and pride and trust the man on the shore, and have not yet realized who he is, but throw the net to the right side of the boat, do they experience success. Amazing, unimagined, never-before-experienced, God-given bounty. Then the aha moment comes. John recognizes the situation and believes. Peter again jumps into action. They are invited by Jesus into a meal, fellowship on the familiar, but suddenly an all-new beach. Jesus has some food, and they are asked to bring something of their faithful catch to add. But together, they meet and share life. With great joy, what great joy that must have been. It makes my soul leap just thinking about it. So here we sit, some years following, and celebrate the events of days past. We may wonder, what's in it for me? How do I gather or take something away through my own celebration of the resurrection? How do I live this reality in the new era, my time and my life? First off, I think we're bound to connect the calling of the disciples with this great catch. We are bound to recognize that Jesus' resurrection was not just about the witness to the historical fact. This witness has been accomplished by prior resurrection appearances, but here there is transition into the new reality for the disciples. Through the processing, the sifting, and sorting through all that has taken place since the first invitation to follow Jesus comes the resurrection of what God sent, Jesus to accomplish is now being handed into their very lives. The calling and mission of Jesus continues through them. With Pentecost and the bestowing of the Holy Spirit, this will become even more transparent as the empowering of God's presence in and amongst them is made tangibly evident. They, in fact, will continue as some of the very signs Jesus gave are accomplished through themselves. For us is the reminder that without Christ, we can do nothing. Nothing. Zero, zilch, nada. This is important because we are inclined to think that we may not be able to do great things on our own, but at least I can do something on my own. No, no, no. The message is clear. Fish all night, try your best, every trick in the book, all the best technology, slick media presence, Disney-esque VBS, an awesome band, a cool pastor, you get the picture. Without Christ, we can do nothing. The kingdom of God and its growth is not about us, but about Jesus and our faithful and willing response to his word. The gospel is God's chosen means of growing the kingdom of God. The gospel is God's confidence and the means of answering every yearning and longing of the human soul. What follows for us is prayer, real communion with Christ, reading, studying, and waiting, knowing the times, but above all, simply trusting God for everything. Without Christ, we can do nothing. What follows that attitude is the port to the sea of God's abundance and mission. Through collective effort, an abundance which is beyond expectation or experience, and yet one which the church can completely attain and accommodate, an abundance which invites us to enter the Lord's presence with joy, even in the midst of low comprehension of God's plan, or the routine of what seems to be our all too familiar boring lives. All night, no fish. Jesus comes, makes himself known. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. All but Nathanael, of whom we hear little else in Scripture, have their own reasons to sort things out, sitting for endless hours on the Sea of Galilee. They could have had their excuses for self-doubt, their own questions about their usefulness and proximity to the power of Jesus' resurrection, and perhaps anything related to something so amazing as the kingdom of God. But Jesus clearly moves them beyond themselves, beyond their baggage and self-doubt. Will you let him move you as well? Will you let the risen Son of God move you beyond your sense of self, move you beyond your limitations, move you beyond your sins, move you beyond your reputation, move you beyond your failures? Will the risen Christ decompress the drama of your story and set your place at the campfire on the beach with him and the fruit of his word in your life, with those others whom he will call and befriend you with, within joyful obedience, in fellowship and in faithful mission. In the familiar routine of life, Jesus came. Even in the darkest night or the worst of fishing days, Jesus turned things around. He can do the same for you. Trust in him, everything. Christ has risen.
He has risen indeed.
Hallelujah.